so thankful to be here tonight. I believe the Lord has a word. He spoke to me 2 weeks ago about this particular word, and I've been letting it mull over in the Spirit, meditating upon it, praying about it, thinking about it, reading about it, studying about it, and just letting it move into my heart and let it settle. But also, whenever a preacher comes, or even a teacher, before you're going to preach it, you're going to feel it.
Yeah.
You're going to feel some of it. You're going to feel some of whatever that is that you've got to deliver, because it's hard to deliver it if you've never been through it. Amen?
Amen.
It's kind of like somebody saying, you know what? I'm single, I know, when I'm 20 years old, but I think you need to do your kids a little bit different than every other kid in their life.
Yeah.
Do you listen to them?
No.
You just kind of move on. But the truth is that God can make a way when there seems to be no way. And it doesn't matter what it's going to be. But if you would stand, we're going to go to Psalm 143. It's going to be a little lengthy reading. We're going to read the whole chapter. We will break that down if God's going to speak to us. The word of the Lord says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate." Another translation says, "Numb. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know thy way wherein I should walk, for I lift my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy sake, namesake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble." In the last verse, number 12, "And thy mercy cut off my enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant." Verse 4 again. Reading it this time in the Amplified Version. "Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed and weak within me. Wrapped in darkness, my heart grows numb within me." It is my sincere prayer that God's going to speak to those that are feeling numb right now. In a world that seems to be ongoing, ongoing, and ongoing, I know God has put this word in my heart and has moved it through me. Over and over and over. So it's my earnest desire that we receive this word.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to pray for me right now to bring strength to me, but let God speak through me.
Amen.
Not me speak, but let God speak through me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. God, I'm thankful, God, for your holy word, knowing that your word will not return void. I'm asking, God, that your word will penetrate each and every heart in this place, including my own, Father. I'm asking, God, that you move mightily in this house, God, not as man, but God as God. Lord, there is none above you. There's none beside you. No, God, that you will do a mighty work. I'm asking, God, that every word would come directly from your throne room, God. Let it be anointed by the Holy Spirit of the living God. God, help us, God, receiving the word. God, let us be hearers and doers of the word, and let it bring back to remembrance throughout this week whenever we go through these battles, knowing that you are with us at our side each and every moment.
Yes.
We're going to give you the glory and the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I thank you for praying with me and for me. My voice is getting a little scratchy, but we're going to make it through this.
Amen.
It may get a little deeper. I may sing baritone afterwards. I won't put you to the pain of that, but we'll just preach the word.
Thank you.
Have you ever had something go numb in your body, like a foot or an arm? Something that you were laying the wrong way? I notice a lot of times my boy, Pierce, he will sit in a high chair, and we'll do a lot of traveling. preach, and we might be driving 2 or 3 hours or whatever. He'll fall asleep. When he wakes up, most every single time he wakes up in a way, like something fell asleep. His backside has fallen asleep, and either it's hears him or hurts him. It's either he can't feel it or whatever it may be. You know, sometimes whenever we get that, it starts with a little bit of difference, a little bit of tingling in that body and so forth. Usually when that happens, it's because there's blood flow that's been cut off, right? Now, I could preach on the blood flow being cut off at this particular moment. We're going to move forward, but what God wants to say, it kind of sneaks up on you thinking that, how did I become numb? Mm-hmm. Whether you fell asleep, whatever it may be, why is it numb?
Right.
Now, what did you do when that body part goes numb? Mm-hmm. What did you do?
Yeah.
Start shaking.
Shaking, yeah. Moving it. The definition of the word numb is this: without feeling or responsiveness. Uh-huh. What about spiritual numbness?
Yeah.
Now we're getting to the heart of the matter of what God wants to speak tonight.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that God wasn't speaking to you? That numb feeling of wondering where God is.
Right.
Numbness can be an emotion, a feeling, like something I felt when my dad passed away many years ago. I remember that time whenever I heard. Everything seemed to stop.
Right. Yes.
What? Mm-hmm. My father passed away. Oh. My mom calls me. The instant things that happens whenever that numbness hits you is regret.
Mm-hmm.
Remembrance.
Yeah.
Things that you would have, should have, could have.
Right.
But still, yeah, it doesn't change that numbness that you feel that's going on around you. It seems like everything's might be in a little bit of slow motion. Like in disbelief that you can't believe that this really happened. Yesterday he was alive, and today he's in eternity.
Right.
Yesterday I could have saw him. I could have been with him. As a matter of fact, I was supposed to, but I put it off another day. What do you think the enemy did?
No, Brother Jason.
You should have, you should have, you should have. An instant thing that we feel this is condemnation. The woulda, shoulda, coulda start to bring condemnation to our minds.
Right.
But whatever it may be, that may not be your case, but that particular thing at that moment was bringing numbness to me.
Right.
Instant regret.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Instant regret brings condemnation to us. Because
right.
We think to the Lord, in our walk with the Lord, we say, I didn't do enough. I didn't say enough. I didn't pray enough.
Right.
I didn't seek God's face enough.
Yeah.
Who's the liar?
Right.
Who's the liar?
Yeah.
We need to remember who's lying to your soul. God would never condemn you. He's always reaching for you.
Yes.
So whenever you feel condemned for these things not to happen, it's remembrance that the devil is lying to you. But the point is this, is that he, God, is reaching for you to spend more time with him. This is truth.
Yes, sir.
But the devil is the one trying to condemn you for not doing what we know we should.
Uh-huh.
Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit,
yes,
says the Lord.
Right.
Numbness can set in to your spiritual life because you are not moved anymore by the Word of God. If you're in the house of God and the Word of God doesn't move you, you might be becoming numb.
Right. Yes.
It doesn't matter if you show up. It doesn't matter if you go to the altar. It doesn't matter if you pray. It doesn't matter if you read your Word. It doesn't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of numb.
Numb.
Just kind of here.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm going somewhere.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yes, sir. Preach.
Or numbness in your spiritual life can be by hidden sin or from a constant attack from the enemy.
Uh-huh.
My first point is this. If you let the flesh have dominion over the spirit, it will make a desolate or numb place in your life.
Exactly.
Now, come on.
Yeah.
Let the flesh have dominion in your life. It will bring numbness to your life. Uh-huh. You will find there is a time that you don't feel what you used to have. David is telling us in this testimony here of how overwhelming he was feeling.
Uh-huh.
how numb he felt because the enemy had fought him and persecuted him and made him feel basically like a dead man.
Yeah.
We don't know specifically what God was going on in David's life when he wrote this chapter in Psalm 143, but we do know the specifics of his life, don't we?
Yes.
And one of those things that caused numbness in his life was that he became numb to the truth when he encountered Bathsheba. David had more of a chance to run from Bathsheba than Joseph did from Potiphar's wife.
Right.
You ever think about that?
Yes, sir.
He had more of an opportunity to run than Joseph.
Yes.
David was already tingling from the numbness setting in when he wasn't satisfied with the five wives and becoming the king of Israel. And get where I'm going. The tingling, that point before coming numb, that he was already not satisfied with what he had already had.
Come on.
Yes, he was being tricked by the enemy and saying, look over there. There it is. He could have looked away, but he didn't. What he did do is that he inquired of them. And then the second time it tingled before he went numb was this. They said, isn't this Bathsheba, this daughter of Eli? One of your chief counselors? Come on. Oh, is this not? Hello? Whose wife? Uriah the Hittite. One of your mighty men?
Yeah.
One that has been written in the book as your mighty men, and obviously better than he.
Obviously.
Tingling. Before he went numb.
Yeah.
The thing was, he was already becoming numb because he wasn't satisfied with what was going on. He wanted something else.
Yeah.
He was looking.
Yes, he was.
But it just didn't happen overnight, did it?
No. A little bit at a time.
The bait hides the hook. The Bible tells us about three hooks that we have to be so careful in. 1 John 2 and 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world.
Right.
Those three hooks took David.
Right.
Lust of the flesh.
Yes.
He obviously had pride of life. He was the king. Yeah? Every bit of it hooked him. We can have the same thing happen in our life if we allow it to.
Yes.
This is bringing forth numbness in his life. When Eve took that fruit, it was appealing. It looked good. It made her feel like she would be like God. She was not content to live in a perfect world under God's grace. She was not content to live in a perfect world. Did you hear that? A perfect world. There was no pain. There was no sickness. There was nothing wrong. Everything was supplied for you. And you got to walk in the presence of the Lord every day. And he was just there. And he would come down in the still of the afternoon. And he would spend time with you every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Numbness.
Not content.
Numb.
Yeah.
To the realities. Maybe because she was too familiar. Wanted something else. Looking over. In a perfect world. And that flow of God's presence was cut off. Can you imagine how numb they felt at that very moment when they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden? How numb would you feel when you walked in the presence of God and he took his presence from you? But not only that, you would work all the days of your life, and then childbearing pains came.
Right.
She was going to feel that too. Also, he was going to work with his hands by digging the ground so there would be something to grow.
Right. He had to do it.
We could go with the fig leaves, but God had to cover them. Something had to die.
Right.
The blood.
Yes, sir.
Push it back a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
But couldn't imagine how numb they must have felt.
Right. So numb.
It's okay to admit where your thoughts and your feelings are as long as you counter them with the truth. So many times we want to think about those things. In Psalm 143, David's talking about this, about the truth. He was telling about his feelings and where he was at and what was going on in his life and how desolate and numb he was. And he wasn't feeling the presence of God, but he was reaching. Yeah. He was wanting something. He was remembering. Sometimes we have to think about what we're doing, where we're going, what we're going to do, what we've already done, what God has done in my life.
Yes.
There was times that Jacob was leaning on his staff at the latter part of his life. I believe it's Hebrews 11 and 20. The supplanter. The liar. Mm-hmm. The one who wrestled with God.
Yeah.
The one that did all these things. But he sat there at the end of his life, looking back, and he found a found son that he thought he lost. He leaned back on that staff, and on the staff they have things written and carved in the side of that staff, those things that he went through. But also, you think about when David, when he went to the creek, he had a staff with him. And that staff had engraved, I killed a bear here, I killed a lion here, I have done this. So whenever he come up against Goliath, it was like, okay, let's pick up five stones. He is here and he's got four brothers. Let's get them all right now.
Yeah.
Because my God can do more than what you think he can do.
Amen. Yes, he can.
So when God's speaking, when God's allowing us to be, he's wanting us to remember who he is.
Yeah.
So we have to remind ourselves. Many times that staff is spoken up in the Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was their journal. Talking about their life. About what God's done for them. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves what God has done for you and myself.
Right. Yes.
God delivered me from that. God saved me from that. God helped me from that. God moved through that. God healed my body from that. God did. God did. God did.
Yes.
So many times the enemies want to put up this blinding roar that's empty.
Right.
He's the loudest one in the room.
Yes, he is.
As I said this morning about that small, still voice. Mm-hmm. Pinpoint our target, who we're listening to, not what we're listening to, not what's yelling at us. Those things in the world that are coming against us and saying, oh, you're going to die. Oh, you're not going to make it.
Uh-huh.
Worry, anxiety, things of the world, they're trying to take us out from their true calling.
Uh-huh.
Every one of us have a calling by God.
Yes.
Every single one of us. He's faithful.
Yes, he is.
The problem is we're not all always faithful. Sometimes we like to consider ourselves faithful because we do part of it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Is part of it faithful? Or all of it?
All of it.
Can I just take and say, God, you can have this much of my heart and I can be saved, or does he have to have it all?
He has to have it all. He has to have it all.
He has to have it all.
Yes.
That means when our faith would arise, it's only because of who he is. Not because of who we are.
Right. Yes, sir.
Revelation 12 and 11 tells us they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
And the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the dead. I know this is talking about the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to bring to your remembrance of what this is talking about. And they overcame the devil by their testimony. David says, I was numb, but then I remembered, I meditated, amused on all the ways, the works of God. You
yes,
have
sir.
To go speak to yourself about your own salvation, testifying to yourself.
Yes.
Your testimony of God working in you and for you and through you. You have to keep pursuing God, even when you face trials, even when you feel numb.
Uh-huh.
He's not done with you yet.
That's right. Amen.
It's good.
When you think about that testimony, they overcame him, the devil, by the word, their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb. By the word of their testimony. What do you think that means?
Yeah.
I'm testifying to you, devil. Get behind me. This is what God's done for me. I'm a child of the King. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than enough for you because who's got my back?
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't have to deal with this mess that you're trying to put on me. I can move forward Because Christ is in me, and he's going to work through me the hope of his glory, not of my own.
Yes.
God can do great and mighty things through us if we allow him to do.
Yes.
Too many times we wonder why the miraculous happens in other places. But the miraculous can happen through you.
Yes.
And me.
Amen.
Why? What in the Bible happened that was miraculous that didn't have a man or a woman behind it? He chooses to use his highest creation to do his work. When Moses came to the Red Sea, the mountains on one side, the desert on the other side, the cloud behind him wasn't the cloud. It was the cloud of the Egyptians running after them. And then he sees the sea. What did God do? He had a staff.
Yeah.
Come on. I was at Mount Horeb and I stepped on holy ground. God spoke to me through a burning bush. God can move this sea out of my way. Come on. We got to remember whenever God's speaking to us, we have to turn up that testimony of what God has done for us. Because he has done great and mighty things for each and every one of you. If you walk with God more than 10 minutes, he's done something for you. If he saved your soul, hallelujah. But you know what? He's done more. Even when you don't know, he's done more. He's done more. God does great and mighty things. I'm so thankful that God actually uses man to do things. Why should we ever think that he would not use us to do miraculous things? Why should we not lay hands on the dead and they rise? Why? That's not strange fire.
No.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Because we believe in a God that can.
Yes.
We're the limit to God. There's no limit to God.
Amen.
But he can only work with what we allow him to do
right.
in us and through us. You may feel alone, but God is with you, and he has given you a church family as well to help you remember that you are not in this by yourself. In the 19th century, a missionary, John G. Patton, was being chased by cannibals. That may not sound very serious to you sitting in this church, but to him, that was a pretty major thing.
Yeah.
Chased by someone who's wanting to kill and eat me.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I don't care if my name is healed or not. I'm running.
Yeah.
Dragging, running, whatever I got to do. He wrote in his journal this story. I was at the mercy of the cannibals. I was perplexed, but I thought it would be best to climb a tree. I climbed into the tree and was there alone for hours. I heard the constant firing of musket guns and the yelling of cannibals. But I sat there in the branches of the tree as safe as if I was in the arms of Jesus. Never in my life did the Lord draw nearer to me or speak more softly to my soul than when I was sitting in that tree. And as I told everything that was in my heart to Jesus, I realized that I was alone, but I was not alone.
Yeah.
Patton was in a tree and cannibals were trying to kill him, but he still felt the presence of the Almighty God. No matter how difficult or how terrible the journey is, God is with you. David tells us to remind ourselves, remember, think about him, talk to yourself about who God is, pour out your heart to him. Be honest with God. He already knows the truth, but he's wanting to commune with you. Don't you speak to those that you love?
Yeah.
Do you tell them the truth?
Come on.
Do you speak to them loving kindness?
Yes,
you will find that even in a place that feels desolate to you, God was, he is, and he is to come.
Yes, he is. Yes.
There's no question. He's with you. At the most difficult times in our life, God is right there with us. What we want to think of is our problem. We elevate our problem instead of elevate God. They can pull us out of the problem. We tend to focus on what's going on in our life instead of who's going to fix it. There's a couple of different ways we can do that. We like to pray for the fix, not pray to who's going to fix it.
Right.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Come on.
I've been guilty of that.
Preach. Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yeah, we
got to remember who he is. There's a relationship that we have to keep moving through and going forward, and it's not the way we think it is. A relationship goes both ways. So if we're wanting to speak to him, he's wanting to speak back. Are we going to hear that small, still voice? Yeah. Are we going to wait till all the other things go around? Are we going to heed to the numbness that's going on around us because we allowed these things to happen?
Jason. Yes.
Was it things that shouldn't be in our life?
Uh-huh.
Was it not listening? Was it? What was it?
Yeah.
What was it? God is faithful.
Yes, He is.
God is faithful to us
yes,
in each and every part. When something goes numb, your reaction is to shake it, start moving it around, exercise it.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes,
what do you do when it goes numb? Whenever we feel numbness in the church and we don't feel it whenever the worship team is worshiping, the Spirit of God is obviously moving around us, and we're sitting there watching it happen as if it was a show. There's numbness.
Right. Yeah.
When you know that God's presence is in the house,
yeah.
Or you're driving down the road and you feel God's presence come into your car, do you focus on that or the guy that's honking at behind you?
Mm-hmm.
Because Satan's going to try to get you away from the presence of God.
Right.
He's going to try to move you around Him because he knows that what you need is a little more time with your Heavenly Father. But oftentimes we spend a lot more time with our enemy than we do our
yes.
Provider.
Yeah. Come on.
Yes, sir.
I'm speaking truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every one of us battle this. Mm-hmm. Every one of us, if you've served God for a time, you've walked in a church and
yeah. Yeah. It's true.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm weary. And frankly, sometimes I don't want to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
You ever said that to your heart?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, come on.
Some of you in here right now may have felt that way, but my obligation brought me here.
Yeah.
Thank you for honesty, Lord.
Come on.
Yes. Yeah.
But we know.
We know.
We've been there
yeah.
with God. God's been there for us, and He's reaching, but He's not going to yell in your ear and say, come on! He's going to wait because He's a gentleman. The Holy Ghost will move through our lives.
Mm-hmm.
David, after thinking about God, starts raising his hands no matter how he had felt or might have even still been shaking off that numbness.
Yeah.
He stretched his hands out towards God and felt a thirst for Him.
Uh-huh.
He asked God to quicken him. Sometimes you just got to shake yourself.
Right.
Shake yourself. When you feel that numbness, you just got to shake it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on, shake yourself and say, hey, God's got this. It doesn't yeah. matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report said. My God said He would.
He will. Yes. Amen.
Either it's truth or it's not.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do we believe the whole counsel of God?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
As long as I preach, it'll be the whole counsel of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pick what I think you want to hear.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pick things that may not step on your toes. It may.
Yeah.
But you better thank God if you got conviction in your heart
yeah.
that God's dealing with you. He loves you so much. He wants to do something in these altars. And yeah. they're always open. I don't care if it's yeah. now or 10 minutes from now. They're always open.
Yeah.
Because this is where it's going to be taken care of.
Right.
The key is don't pick it up and take it with you.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
God wants to move through our numbness. Sometimes you just want to move past it. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself. Sometimes you have to give a testimony of whom God is through you. They was in this desolate, numb place, and he begins to ask God to make him know that God was still with him.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll notice in verse 7, that God, He said, hear me. Speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go to the pits.
Yeah.
He was asking God to hear him, but knew it. Psalm 18 and 16, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple and my cry came before him, even into his ears.
Yes.
Verse 8, it says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know thy way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Cause me, he's sitting there talking to God, cause me to remember you. Cause me to hear you. Cause me. He was in such a desperate place. He was like, God, help me to hear you. Help me know you. Help me do these things, God. Cause me to hear you.
Yes, amen.
Desolate. Numb. You can hear the desperate heart of David. We can be in the same place where we are thinking, God, cause me to hear you. I could sit here in a service, and the Holy Ghost is moving around me and I don't feel it. God, cause me to hear you.
Yes.
Cause me to know you.
Yes, Lord.
Verse 9 says, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies, and I flee unto thee to hide. He said, deliver me, God.
Yeah.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Come on.
Yes.
He delivered for me all my fears, the word tells us. Those things that we fear, those things, even though you don't know that you fear them, have they set up in your life? Have you allowed them to speak into your life? Have you allowed them to be something?
Yeah.
Have they been a thought process each and every day of your life? It's a check.
Help us, God, to hear you.
A little bit of tingle before the numbness sets in. That tingling allows the numbness to start moving forward. But that's the warning of what's to come.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes.
To fall asleep, to not feel the presence of God, the freedom of God, or what he's going to do. 10 says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Teach me your ways, your will, your purpose, your precepts, your peace, your presence. To trust in your truth. Do we trust what the Word of God says? When the disciples were going across the sea, you remember the time when there was a big storm? You remember that storm? Wind was coming from everywhere. It's rocking that little fishing boat. Jesus fell asleep. The wisest thing they did is wake up Jesus. So when are we going to wake up the Word? When are you going to wake up the Word in your life? When are you going to say, Jesus, walk in here? Whenever are you going to pick up that Bible and say, wake up the Word in me? When am I going to see the Word move? That's His Word.
Yeah.
The disciples woke up Jesus. That is the Word that became flesh. This living Word that we speak of, that is most of the time how God's going to speak to you.
Yeah.
The two things that we lack usually as Christians is prayer and reading the Word.
Right.
It's true.
How hard is it for you each and every day to find time to do either one? I'm not beating you up. I know I fight the same battle.
Yeah.
Because the enemy will do anything he can possibly do to keep you from the life-giving flow.
Right.
That flow that will not allow numbness to set in. That flow of the blood of Jesus Christ through the Word of God that's going to continue to help us, to nourish us, to give us what we need to survive for today. Yesterday's manna is not good enough. I need a touch today. I need a renewing of my mind. That's what it means. Sanctification is an everyday occurrence. The renewing of your mind is sanctification. Hello? Look it up. Every single day, I'm going to choose whom I serve. When I start my day out with Him, I've chosen who I'm serving. When I move closer to Him, He will move close to me. The Word tells me. To not allow the cutoff of the blood flow, we must read the Word of God and allow Him to speak through us and to us in that voice that we should know so very well. There's some here today or tonight that may feel numbness in your heart or feel that God doesn't care for me. God doesn't know that I exist. I'm not good enough. I don't do enough. I should do better. That's a lie. That's a lie from the enemy. The enemy wants to stop you before you get started. Verse 11 says, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. David's saying here, this is a part of shaking me. Quicken me. What means in the word is revive me, Lord. Revive me, God.
Yes.
Revive me in your spirit. Revive me with new wine.
Lord, we need your revival.
Revive. You know, when Jesus made the water into wine, I want to say grape juice, He doesn't do fermented fruit.
Right.
Grapes.
Right.
Yes. He doesn't do anything dead.
Right.
Yeah.
He's always life.
Right. Yep.
So let's get past that. The truth is this. At the end was the best wine. That's what they said.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But you'll know the firkins were made out of clay pots. That talks to me and you that we're made out of clay.
Uh-huh.
They were filled to the uttermost, to the very tippy top.
Yeah.
With new wine.
Uh-huh.
The Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit of God is what that's speaking to.
Yeah.
That at the best, at the very last, they were full of new wine. The Holy Spirit of God. Those clay pots were full with the very best. The Holy Spirit of God. And we should be filled each and every day with the sweetness of the Holy Spirit of God. The life-giving flow.
Yeah.
There is none like Him. There's none beside Him. There'll never be any like Him. There will be all the world. They'll offer you each and everything.
Yeah.
But they'll never do what God can do.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
I heard a preacher today, this afternoon. I was listening to Pentecostal preaching years ago. He said, if I ever decided to have a bumper sticker, he said, my God lives. Sorry about yours. Amen?
Yeah.
Sorry about yours. Because it don't matter who else. My God lives. That's the only one. Everybody else is dead.
Yeah.
Huh? You look it up. Is there one other God that ever raised himself from the dead? Was there ever one that could move anything? Was there ever one that did anything?
Yeah.
Was there ever one that didn't have a man just speaking it out?
Yeah.
No. Our God lives, and He lives for you and me because we're the temple of the living God.
Amen.
We are the church, and He chooses to work through us, and He has a purpose for each and every one of us. He will not stop on us. He's faithful to continue to do what He started.
Yes, He will.
But would we?
Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
I think so many times about what God's done in my life. I look back and I'm like, my God. My God. So many times we forget because we're too busy.
Yes, we are.
Too busy to remember God. In our hurried lives to get here to point A to point B. When I was a kid, my nickname was Four Barrel. Anybody know what a carburetor is? For your older folks, you know what it is. It's because I had a lead foot and had a rock tied at the bottom of that. I was in a hurry to go everywhere. But thank God, He kept me. The thing about God is that He's always willing. He's always speaking. We're just not always listening.
Right.
In closing, I'm going to ask you to stand for just a moment. Right where you are. If you feel that you feel numbness in your life, you feel you're in a desolate place, a barren wasteland in your life, that you don't feel the presence of God wherever you may be. This is speaking to you. And if you're not feeling that right now, you'll eventually walk through that. Mm-hmm. The enemy's going to do the best he can to make sure you are.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and raise your hands.
Lord, I love you, Jesus.
Start talking to God. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. God, help me, Lord, to hear you. Lord, I'm asking you, God, to move in my life the way that I have known you in the past. I'm remembering what you've done for me. I'm remembering, God, as I testify to my enemy, Lord, that you are God and you're going to do great and mighty things through me. Because you promised me that I have salvation by thy blood. You promised me that you're my healer. You promised these things into my life.